Saving for big goals can be intimidating, but small steps over time can really add up. If you create a basic safety net, start early, take advantage of an offered match, and prepare for the long haul, it can be done. Read or watch more about these basic tips of saving for the future at stcumoney.org.
Welcome to Startup Spokane, where hosts Steve Traben and Megan Halsey explore the excitement and momentum growing throughout Spokane's expanding startup community. Startup Spokane is a joint effort between Greater Spokane Incorporated's Startup Spokane, our friends at Well Dressed Walrus, and Spokane Talks Online. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Megan.
Welcome to Startup Spokane on Spokane Talks Online, your podcast home for everything startup and entrepreneurship related in the Spokane region. As they mentioned, we're Steve and Megan. We're your hosts today, and we're Startup Spokane, a program of Greater Spokane Incorporated. We're here to provide you with our region's story of entrepreneurship and educate you about the resources that exist in our region's ecosystem. We want to share ways for you to plug in and connect to those resources so that if you're launching or growing a business, you have what you need to be successful. At Startup Spokane, we are building an ecosystem that's attractive not only to our native entrepreneurs, but also to people who are looking for the place to launch their next business. I'm really excited about today's conversation because we have Clay Cerna with us. Welcome, Clay.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
And Clay and I go way back. I think, you know, before Startup Spokane even was a gleam in our eye.
That's true. We were nothing more than a mishmash of offices and a steam plant.
Clay, for our listeners, let's kind of give them a little history about you, your background, kind of where you've been, and leading into what you're doing today with Sweetbox Delivery.
Right. Well, as you mentioned, we go way back. So about, what is that, 3 years now? Back into the first startup weekend that I attended. And actually, at the time, I had just moved back from Chicago. And at the time, I was kind of floating around, kind of figuring out where I wanted to be and do I want to go back to Seattle, do, you know, so forth and so forth. And then Startup Weekend got pitched to me by a friend of mine and kind of completely changed the tables as far as where I wanted to be because all of a sudden Spokane was cool. All of a sudden there was all these interesting people doing interesting things in Spokane. I was like, well, you know, maybe I'll give Spokane another try. So, and then that's where we met, mm-hmm. And I believe our team, I was on Stronger Love, strongerlove.com.
What was that all about?
That was a DIY relationship building app.
Yep. How did that work out for you personally?
For me personally, it didn't work, but I believe the founder is now, she broke up with the guy that she started it with, so...
It's tragic.
You never bring work home. That's what I find out.
But you got a taste of what the startup community is like here in our region, right? And fueled some of your passion for what you're doing now.
Well, I think the big thing is that it exposed me to people that were just as crazy as me, so and just as willing to make mistakes and get out there and make a fool of themselves, which I've been doing for about 29 years at that point. So
Startup Weekend is where we met. What did you do next? If this is all part of a journey. I'm going to just kind of drag you through your own journey for a second, and then Megan will chime in on the stuff that she knows about too.
So the way it worked out is that I met Steve at Startup Weekend. I met a bunch of other great people at Startup Weekend. And then shortly thereafter, I decided to move to Spokane and basically did everything I could to survive. To live in Spokane for the first couple of months, and then I got hired on as the marketing director for Dawn of the Donut, the zombie-themed donut shop, formerly located at, well, yeah, over on Division, up by Garland on the north side. And from there, I started the wholesale division, built that company up, ended up getting promoted to GM, and then I started my company after I was fired from that business. So,
well, don't make it sound so dramatic, right?
Oh, I mean, it was dramatic.
But there was part of that journey where and that experience where you were actually trying to buy that business, weren't you?
That's true. Actually, there was three separate occasions where the business was offered to me for purchase, and each time that I went through the process of consulting with SNAP, primarily Lori Roth over at the Women's Business Center and Alan Stanford over at the SBDC, and you know, went through the whole rigmarole of what it takes to buy a business, what it takes to actually keep it running after you acquired and so forth. And each time I decided not to, mainly because there was I was advised not to. And that's the nice thing is that, you know, in Spokane, you'll get people to give you good advice, not just free advice.
So you didn't buy the business.
I didn't buy the business. I went on vacation. And so right at, let's see, what was that? In September of 2014, I'm going to try to make this sound as less dramatic as possible.
Okay.
You know, because it's only donuts. And so basically I went on a two-week vacation. And while I was on vacation, the owner sold the business. And on my last day of vacation, when I was driving back from California, the new owner called me and fired me. So it was a little dramatic.
Yeah, but it was also a segue into your future.
That's true. It gave me – I had to drive all the way through Oregon and Washington before I got to back to Spokane. And by the time I got back here, I had an idea of what it is that I wanted to do. So
let's hear a little bit about Sweetbox.
Sweetbox delivery. Well, basically what we do is we deliver baked goods. So, and first and foremost, I should point out that that's not how it started out.
Yeah.
So there's even more to the story than I'm aware of.
I think we need to keep going along the lines of your idea on your road trip back, because
this is a great story about how ideas evolve because, you know, you've really touched so many pieces of the ecosystem already. And you haven't even gotten to your great idea yet, so continue.
Well, the big thing is that so after I came back to Spokane, I was, angry, frustrated, other words I can't mention. And the thing is that I basically got way ahead of myself. So I thought I was going to, I was going to do something in baking. And actually, on my way back, the way I tell the story is that because when I entered Oregon, the mile marker started over again. And it was mile marker 87 when I had finally calmed down enough to call Steve Faust, my attorney. He was a very wonderful man because he answers his cell phone on the weekends. And I told him, just file the paperwork. We'll figure out what to call it when I see you Monday.
Okay, so you called an attorney not to challenge the firing, but actually to form a new business,
to get the LLC paperwork started.
Because you knew that you wanted to do something that was, you know, in baked goods, kind of baking. And where did that come from, by the way? Where does the whole baking thing come from? Is that like a lifelong passion?
Oh, so I'll be the first to admit that I am not a good baker.
I'm not sure you should admit that.
Oh, no, let it be known. I would like the court to recognize that Clay Cerna is not a good baker. However, I do have a flair for chemistry. So I've always been a little bit of a chemistry nerd ever since I was a kid. And to me, baking is just one giant lab experiment that you do every day. It's a very simple, very safe lab experiment, you know, with delicious results. Ba-da-ba. And the big thing with how all of this evolved was that I didn't necessarily have a clear vision of what I wanted it to be. I'm actually, when I hear other people tell their stories about how they have this passion and they have this thing that they have to do, and for me it's just like I just got tired of working for somebody else. I really wanted to make my own corner of this town and kind of make it my own, and I had no idea how that worked, how that was going to look. And more importantly, like what got me into baking was that having run Donna the Donut, I had a lot of contacts in the food industry, and I realized that, like, you know what, there's a lot of money to be made in baked goods, and more importantly, there isn't a delivery service to deliver baked goods in Spokane. I was like, you know, why not start there? And when I first started, so that was in early September, and then by next startup weekend was my first paycheck, which was November 4th of 2014. So, and that was the first paycheck I actually made as a company.
And that's because you were a vendor you were providing food to Startup Weekend, right?
Right, but that was just to give you an idea of the timeline I got as far as the licensing and everything, and got through all of that as quick as I possibly could.
And that really was the genesis of Sweetbox Delivery.
Yes, that was.
Fantastic. So tell me what it is that Sweetbox is and what they do today.
So today what Sweetbox Delivery does is we deliver baked goods for our bakery and other local bakeries in Spokane. So we initially started out, believe it or not, just making cinnamon rolls in a commercial kitchen. And then for some reason, I thought we were going to change the world with cinnamon rolls. And shocker, it didn't happen. So what ended up happening is that we initially started off as a bakery. And it wasn't until we started making our stuffed bagels, which is really what we're known for. And my apologies for not bringing any this morning. But at a certain point, we started developing a wholesale clientele and started really getting out there in the community. And the one thing that we found is that there was all these other bakeries that didn't deliver, and yet the wholesale clients had to go and get their products. So instead of competing with them and making products that they were making, it's like, well, why don't we just deliver for them?
That's a great idea.
You know, so kind of a rising tide raises all boats and everything. So, and that's really, that took a year and a half to get to that point.
And you were working in a commercial kitchen. Talk a little bit. We've got a couple minutes before we go to break. Talk about the commercial kitchen, where that was and how that worked out.
So the big thing with starting this whole venture is that I'm a big numbers guy. So I'm horrible about rounding numbers out. So, when I started out, I needed a place to bake. I needed a place to produce product. And the only thing that was an affordable option was Kitchen Spokane, which was the commercial kitchen. And at the time, we were in the Comfort Inn kitchen during select hours. And that was where his operation was at the time.
Yep.
And so what ended up happening is that I ended up producing product only when product was being ordered. So it kind of worked out great because I didn't spend money unless money was coming in, which was a wonderful way to start out. But once again, cinnamon rolls, you know, weren't that popular.
But so. Really kind of a just-in-time manufacturing operation. Right. Hey, we're having a great conversation with Clay Cerna of Sweetbox Delivery. We're hearing about his journey from moving to Spokane from Chicago to the launch of his business and all the resources and elements of our entrepreneurial ecosystem that he's been taking advantage of since 2014. So stay with us. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back to continue our conversation with Clay Cerna on Startup Spokane on Spokane Talks Online.
Snoring can disrupt marriages and cause serious health problems. Call Sleep Better Northwest first, the experts in dental sleep medicine. Their medically approved, custom-fit oral appliances will have both you and your partner sleeping better and being more productive throughout your day. Don't wait. Snoring and sleep apnea can signal potential strokes or heart attacks. For more information, visit needbettersleepnow.com and download our health guide today. Sleep Better Northwest, the experts in dental sleep medicine.
Last year alone, Avista customers saved over 53 million kilowatt hours of energy. How? By caulking their windows, programming their thermostats, replacing their incandescent light bulbs with LEDs. Simple things, really. But the energy they saved was enough to power more than 4,000 homes for an entire year. Way to save, everyone. Way to save. Find your way to save at avistautilities.com.
Rob Curley, editor of the Spokesman Review.
Spokane isn't really like anything I've ever seen. I love that we're one of the smallest cities in America with its own symphony. I love that we host the biggest 3-on-3 tournament, that we have this huge road race. I love that the highest rated hotel in all of Washington is in Spokane. I love that on any given night within one block, you can have 3 Grammy winners playing. I've never seen anything like it.
Online, in print, the Spokesman Review. Subscribe to the experience.
If you're like many shoppers, you love to find a deal online. Or you shop online because it's so convenient. And you probably know thieves love to go online too, to try to steal shoppers' credit card information. When you're shopping online, you can start protecting your credit card information by investigating the website you're shopping on. Make sure the online retailer lists a real phone number and a physical address. Read the site's privacy policy and search for reviews and ratings of the retailer. You can read more about safe shopping online at STCU's financial education blog. Go to stcumoney.org.
Welcome back to Startup Spokane on Spokane Talks Online, where we're talking to Clay Cerna, the owner of Sweetbox Deliveries. Now, Clay was just telling us how he started in a kitchen, commercial kitchen co-working space, but I think that your situation has evolved. So why don't you tell us a little bit about where you're at now and how you got there?
All right. So, yes, I did start out at Kitchen Spokane, and how it developed from there is that I ended up meeting some people in the industry, and I actually got approached by, at the time, the owner, Kathleen, who owned Just a Couple of Moms Catering. And right about that time, it got purchased by Josh Wade, and we kind of worked out this deal to where we turned his kitchen into a shared kitchen. So, I mean, there was, they do catering all the time and everything, but even for as busy as they are, they only use the kitchen half of the day. So there's the other half of the day that is just sitting empty. So,
and which half of the day do you usually, are you in the kitchen?
Clay? The half of the day when other people are not awake.
So, wow.
Exactly. You're a night owl.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, somewhere along the lines, people decided to eat bagels first thing in the morning. If they had decided to eat them in the middle of the day, I'd probably get to sleep in every once in a while. But that doesn't work that way.
So do you have any favorite products that you guys produce?
Well, I'd have to say that the one that I accidentally make time and time again, so as in like I purposely screw it up so I can eat it, is our three cheese pizza stuffed bagel. So it's the marinara mozzarella on the inside with cheddar cheese, Monterey Jack, and marinara on the outside with rosemary in the dough.
That sounds really amazing. So tell me, how do you come up with these inventive recipes and how do you test those?
So first I should say we came up with a stuffed bagel on a dare. A friend of mine that works for Dawn Foods, Tim Chase, he's been in bacon for like 17 years. And I threw this idea of him is like, you know, have you ever heard of a bagel with cream cheese inside of it, you know, baked inside of it? And he basically, we talked about it for about a half hour and came to the conclusion that in order to do that, you'd have to change the chemical properties of bagel and everything like that. And about 3 months later, I did exactly that. So he was kind of surprised at how all of that came about. And the big thing is that you bring up the testing the product. One of our staples of our company is that we hold a open house testing every time that we have a new product that we bring on the menu, and we call it a guinea pig out. And it's exactly how it sounds. We invite people in as test subjects, and we just basically shove a bunch of free food in front of their face and give them comment cards.
Are you bringing them into the kitchen itself, or do you have a separate venue where you do that?
Primarily we do it in the upstairs of our kitchen with the nectar barrel room or the main area or anything like that, because then they can also get a glass of wine to go with their bagel.
And is this the Nectar location downtown?
Yes. So, okay. Stevens in Maine.
Great. And are you still working with the ladies that have the catering business, then, Clay? Or?
So, yeah. So, actually, I still am working with Josh Wade is the one that owns it and runs it now. And he's expanded out his domain. I mean, he's got the Kendall Yards location and everything. So there's still plenty of activity down there at the kitchen. And thankfully, they don't cook in the middle of the night, so we can do our thing.
So you're producing there. But let's talk about your sales and distribution model, because, I mean, there's some uniqueness there as well, right?
Right. So the big thing that I found when – so in the first – I would say first year, I'm going to round it up to year and a half, really didn't know what we were doing. I mean, I'll be open with that, is that it was – a lot of our system has been built from customer feedback and from our wholesalers and everything, because we initially started out in a fashion that we thought would work, and then after time and time again of it not working, we're like, well, okay, then we just need to let someone else kind of tell us what works for them. And what we found is that with all of our clients, they had an issue with the minimum orders, they were ordering way too much, so way too much was going to waste. And two, there was too restrictive of delivery. So we completely overhauled our delivery system, and we deliver 7 days a week now. And we only require a $30 to $50 minimum for delivery, and which is not that much.
Describe kind of who your customers are, because a lot of our listeners, I mean, it's not – it may not be, you know, you delivering bagels to my house. It might be you delivering to a convenience store or something else.
Right.
Talk more about who your customer segment really
so
is.
So as far as our wholesalers are concerned, the coffee stands are kind of our bread and butter, no pun intended. And, you know, such as like Hold Your Ground, Shotzi's, you know, there's Full of Beans. There's a lot of local stands. And then there's even larger accounts like Coeur d'Alene Casino. You know, Southside Christian School, you know, and other large accounts like that. But the big thing that really worked for them was when we built our app. And we actually have an app that allows you to order. If you want to order one of one item, then you can do that. And that's the big power that we found that really worked for people, was letting them having control over their inventory, letting them run as lean as they want to. And more importantly, like, as especially as a wholesaler, when you're producing product and you're just distributing it, like, that's your business. How they run their business isn't your business. And I think that's where a lot of people have really, especially in the food industry, have kind of shot themselves in the foot, is that they do what works best for them as opposed to what works best for their client. And if you don't do that, then you're not going to have them as a client.
Right. So putting the client's needs first. So this app it's not an app for the whole world to order a product. It's an app specifically for your customers, your wholesale customers, and they can place orders.
Right. Well, and the nice thing is that like we have everyone build a login, so that way it remembers all of their information. And because everyone handles invoicing a little differently, it just handles the ordering. It's about as simple as you can get as an app goes.
Now, if I'm doing like an office meeting, could I call and have you deliver to just my office?
Absolutely. So that's one area that we've really started to expand out, because now that we have our product out there and more people are aware of what we do, we've kind of overhauled our website to where even we make packages nowadays, like do a continental package or a cookie package, and that way you'll get something from all the local bakeries that we work with, you know, such as Just American Desserts, Boots Bakery, Desserts by Sarah, and I'm going to spoil it, we're going to be delivering Cyrus O'Leary pies here very soon.
Good.
So,
wow.
And I think, you know, right now it's be very appropriate for you to let people know, or in our listeners know, how do they learn more about Sweetbox. If they wanted to place orders, you know, tell us how they find you.
Well, you'll find us at sweetboxdelivery.com. And then right on our homepage, if you just scroll down, you can start building your order right there. And more importantly, especially for offices, we offer a subscription model. So that way, if people have Monday meetings, Friday sales meetings, and they just want to set it and forget it, just sign up for a subscription and we'll show up every Friday.
That's a great idea, especially for those recurring meetings that we all have.
Well, and I was going to say, I mean, your client base, it's a recurring model, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really neat that you have predictable sales. It's not like you're having to go sell one bagel at a time, right? These wholesale customers of yours are placing orders regularly. It's I call it an annuity stream of revenue, right?
Yeah. Well, and the big thing with that type of model, it allows us to keep our prices competitive with the larger competitors out there, because like with our whole retail sales for offices and everything, the price of each bagel includes tax, it includes a delivery fee, includes everything. We just try to keep it nice round numbers.
So Clay, talk a little bit about your competitive landscape. What's it look like for you?
I've got a couple stories.
Okay, keep them short, because we have more questions and we're running out of time.
Well, the big thing for us is that as far as our actual competitors out there, I mean, there's some larger local bakeries such as Sweetwater and Rocket Bakery used to be one of them until they stopped doing wholesale. And the big thing that we found is that we're kind of pushing into areas where we're pushing against some of the larger competitors. So such as FSA or URM, but in very small capacities. So, and there's there's been a few times where I've been reminded of how small I actually am. So.
But you're providing a unique product. It's home-baked goods. I mean, right? It's not like you're selling Twinkies and Ding Dongs.
Right. So, that's exactly. I'm selling local unhealthy products.
Right, which is good. And we haven't talked about this, but you're completely self-funded.
That's right. So, and the big thing that I can boast about is that our company has been actually cash flow positive since 6 weeks in. So, and that goes back to just being very aggressive about the numbers and everything. And just, you know, I know my nickname at Startup Weekend is P&L. So, and that's an earned nickname. So the, and the big thing is that especially with anything in the bakering realm is that there's, you can spend so much money, time, effort, and energy on making something great. But if you forget that that great thing has to sell at a certain price in order for it to resell, then you're donezo, you know. Right. And unfortunately, I think where a lot of people, just across the board, I mean, even in Chicago where you had amazing bakeries that were truly doing unique things over there, you had people make things that people wanted once. You know, I always say that, like, regardless of whatever business in, your business is repeat business. And everybody can get a dollar once, but whether you get it again or not is the real measure of a good company.
That's right. Really insightful. So let's talk a little bit and close it up with Startup Weekend. Are you still involved with that?
So, yes, I'm actually an organizer for Startup Weekend, have been for the last five, if I remember correctly. So this will be number six coming up in November.
Number six for you, number 10 for
yes,
Spokane.
That's
right?
Yeah. Number 10. So.
Well, I'm sure we'll be talking to you again as we get closer to Startup Weekend. But right now I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast this morning. And we hope that you enjoyed learning more about this exciting delivery service that's available here in Spokane and seeing what it adds to our entrepreneurial ecosystem in the Inland Northwest. So join us for future Broad and Podcast, where we'll continue bringing you profiles of successful entrepreneurs, as well as information on helpful resources and much more. Talk to you next time on Startup Spokane Radio on Spokane Talks Online.
Startup Spokane is produced in Spokane, Washington by SpokaneTalksOnline.com, which is a joint effort between GSI's Startup Spokane, Well Dressed Walrus, and Spokane Talks Online. Ask a question, recommend a guest, and hear this program again online anytime at SpokaneTalksOnline.com. We wish you a great and profitable day.
If you need a sign, banner, or business cards for your business, who do you call? Hi, this is Kent Adams.
And Tom MacArthur from Business Talks. Kent and I call Instant Sign Factory for our signs, banners, business cards, and more.
Dave at Instant Sign Factory is our go-to guy for printing, and he always does excellent work for us.
Check them out online. They've got an all-new website, InstantSignFactory.com.
Tell them Kent and Tom from Business Talks sent you. Instant Sign Factory.